Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, and really glad that you are with us today. We are in the studio for a couple hours, 1-800-229-3000. Hi, Jill. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing good today. Glad to be here.
It is a great day, and we're thrilled that folks are here with us. And if you want to join us, it's pretty simple. You just give us a call in the studio for 2 hours. But I have to stop and tell you that tomorrow is the last day for the early bird discount on our marriage intensive, which is in Columbus, Ohio. So I hope and pray that you will go to that. Larry, you've got some testimonies you're going to read to us here. If anybody's interested, this is the kind of stuff that happens when you come to the marriage intensive. Let's read those real quick.
Okay. This workshop is unlike any other that we've been to, and we've been to 14 marriage workshops altogether.
Wow, another, that says something, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was a lady. A man writes,
Let's hope it's the last one they need to go to.
Yeah, I know.
I praise God for using you in such a powerful way. We had a breakthrough on an issue that had damaged our marriage for 43 years.
Oh.
Whoa, there you go.
Another one. I had pretty much given up on my wife and my marriage, but I connected with my wife so much at the workshop that it's given us a new start.
Two more.
Paul writes, I came to New Life with a bucket of problems, and in 2 days I left with just a few. However, these few problems are manageable due to the tools given to me by New Life.
Mm, that's awesome.
And then my husband was going to move out, but after the workshop, he's committed to going to therapy to work on childhood trauma, and I'm committed to working on my communication with him.
That is so typical of what happens, and we never cease to be amazed at what God can do when somebody just says, okay, it's time to get it done. So if you want things to get better, or it's a horrible thing and you want everything to change, this is the place, 1-800-229-3000 to be on radio, 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about the marriage conference, or go to newlife.com. It's different than anything that you've ever seen. You know, Tolstoy wrote the great marriage handbook, War and Peace. And, you know, in one of the things he wrote, separate from War and Peace, which is actually not a handbook.
Isn't there
for marriage,
a movie about that too? Like War
but
of the Roses?
Said this. He said, it's not a matter of whether or not you're compatible. Because how many times do you hear people say, oh, we're just not compatible?
Yeah.
He says, it's how you deal with what you're incompatible about.
Yeah,
that is so true. And research shows that every couple has about 10 different areas that they are totally incompatible in, and you have to deal with it. They're not going to change. They're going to be there, and so you have to adjust for that. So I really believe that is true.
And Steve, the other day you said something about the thing that you are attracted to in your partner prior to marriage, you know, that kind of draws you to them is the very thing that sometimes becomes the thorn in, becomes the thorn in your side after marriage. Because we're attracted to those differences. But then when we're married, it's like, why aren't you like me?
Steve, it's also the philosophy you have overall of life is you got to keep dancing.
Right,
and
don't give up.
Ron and I joke because there's just things we don't agree upon.
Yes.
And we've learned to do the dance and know it's okay.
That's right. And what a horrible thing when there are things that you don't agree on and one person decides, well, here's how we're going to handle this. I'm going to try to change this other person. I'm going to try to win this.
Yeah, that works.
Well, everybody loses when you try to win. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Dorothy. She's calling us from Somerville, New Jersey. And we'll talk to you if you call us, 1-800-229-3000. We're here for a couple hours, so come be part of New Life.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Larry's in the studio also. Dorothy is calling us from Somerville, New Jersey, and she listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. You can too. Channel 131. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 Pacific. Dorothy, how are you? What can we do for you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a family situation where my mother is 86 years old and has moderate dementia and has her own home that she's living in that several years ago my sister moved in with her daughter. And she had moved in for another reason, not that my mom had dementia, but over time she's doing some caregiving. There's been some verbal abuse going on and I asked, I'm one of seven siblings, and I asked for a family meeting to discuss the next steps for my mother. I have power of attorney, so I could make the decisions by myself, but want, you know, family input and to see. And, boy, just requesting a family meeting, it's exploding. I'm accused of going to be making my sister homeless. There's other ones that say you must sell immediately. Why have you been holding on to it? Other ones saying, how can you make mom homeless?
So just a meeting to discuss the options, right?
Right.
Okay.
And it's already very, there's just definitely some people in the family that have some emotional issues that they have not previously dealt with, and it's all coming to ahead over something that really, you know, so.
Okay, so the question for us is...
How should I, since I'm going to be the one orchestrating the meeting, in my mind I was thinking I would like to have, like, an agenda of what we will stick to and talk about. And I was wondering, any advice to keep it on track of it's about mom, not about the siblings?
Yeah, okay. Jill, I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to give her... I think that people feeling like they're not going to be... that you're not having some secret agenda that they can be prepared... I think that that alleviates a lot of the anxiety sometimes. Structure is always good, and information is always good. So you might want to send everybody, as you know, I've been thinking about this meeting, and here's the issue, and I hope that all of us could prepare so we can make a great decision. On the selling of the house... Let's be sure and think of what are the pluses of doing that. What's the benefit? And then also let's be sure we have a comprehensive list of what could be a problem with that? What could go wrong? And then let's come and let's fully discuss it with our lists, but let's really all focus on her, that's the main thing.
So, Steve, so you're talking about front-loading this and mm-hmm. letting everybody be
that's
prepared.
That's what I'm afraid to do, actually.
Okay.
What's that?
You're afraid,
what
why?
That's what I have some fears of because I've been getting calls every day from every member.
Okay.
Just hearing that they were going to have a meeting, and if I front-load it with telling them the key issues, there's two camps. So
okay, but
me ahead of time their list, and I
understand that. But Steve is saying that just the idea of the meeting is stirring up a lot of anxiety for everyone, and to think that this is just going to be problem free, you would be being naive, right? There are certain events in life that stir up emotion because with the idea that maybe mom won't be here forever. Right? Then it's the last chance to kind of deal with all of their childhood stuff, right? All of their feelings about their position in the family. And so that's what you're going to see come out. And people need to be heard, right? So people have a strong need to be heard. And so that's some of it. So I think I would front load it also, you know, by sending this like in an email and saying, this can be a really emotional event for families to talk about the last stage of life of a mom, right? So let them know that you expect it to be difficult, right? And that they may have a lot of emotion and that you realize that everybody, each one of them probably has a different take or perspective on the issues at hand and that you want to create room for each person to express while at the same time keeping the meeting on track. So you're trying to be very transparent up front that these are the issues. And if anyone wants to add something to the agenda for the meeting, that asks that they put it in writing to you.
Now, let's talk about your fear of telling them about the agenda. The thing you'd want to ask yourself, am I afraid because I don't want them to be as prepared as me.
Good point.
And if that's true, maybe they sense that you're wanting to have more control or be more in control than necessary.
Or if that's been assigned to you.
I guess more is that my position in the family is the oldest girl, and I've always been, I guess, come to for advice. Look, and my fear, I think, more is a self-esteem. Am I going to be personally attacked and lose my standing? That's probably more of my fear.
Okay,
than,
so there it is.
So there it
well,
is.
Well, maybe you like being the most prepared. That makes you feel the most in control. And so it's really going to be healthy for them when they see your email. Wow, she's not just wanting to be the only one in the room that knows what we're going to be talking about. And it might soften them.
That's a good point.
Rather than what you're afraid of is that they might be too prepared or something like that.
I didn't think of that. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're here, is to think of things that you didn't think about. That's the whole purpose of the show. So I'm really glad that you hadn't thought about that.
Right, right. And every person, you know, when you go back with your family, you fall back into those roles. And so this was the expectation, it seems like, that was put on you throughout the years. And so there's something in what you said about not somehow not being able to fulfill your role. Right, that you feel vulnerable
Correct.
To attack, that you wouldn't be able to fulfill that. But I think what Steve is highlighting is maybe there's some resentment about that role. You're all adults now. Maybe you don't always need to be the one that's in charge.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good for you. These are things for you to look at. And even if you find some stuff about yourself in the letter, you might even mention something. I know you guys are used to me wanting to take the lead as the oldest and all this, but in this situation, I think we really ought to come together with mom's best interest in mind and all present our perspectives on this.
And come up with a compromise, right? Because realizing we all aren't going to agree.
Now, one final thing.
Right.
How could this result in the caretaker, sibling, or your mother being homeless?
I think they're just being a little dramatic about it, but because my mom, I've already stated, my mother can come live with me. We have. My husband and I are empty nesters, and I don't work full-time anymore. I could give her full-time care. I guess it's...
But again, that's you kind of deciding.
That might not necessarily be a true statement.
Yeah, it's again you deciding and kind of taking charge about what the solution is. Instead of really...
Well, right. I have said that she, my mom, that's not necessarily, I don't live in the same area as the rest of my family, so it's not, we've already discussed it, that's not necessarily the best option.
Okay.
But I wouldn't leave my mother homeless, as that was the point of that. That was it.
Okay,
I resisted for the last 3 years of bringing her to live with me because I didn't want to, you know, make that decision without other people saying, yes, that's where we want her to be. Right.
Okay. Well, I hope this is helpful, and I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that you can enjoy that. And really important, humility versus strength or overpowering, things like that, that's really, really important for all of us to remember. All right. Really glad that you're with us here today. 1-800-229-3000 in the studio for a couple of hours. We have a brand new thank you for you if you are able to support this ministry. It's 100 Days of Healing. It's a beautiful leather-ette, you could say, or leather-like cover. And, you know, it's just so simple. Every day, 100 days, there's a wonderful little story. There's a passage of Scripture. There's prayer. And there's some quotes from some really amazing people. And we'd love to send this to you. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of all we do here at New Life. What we love doing, of course, is sending people to get help. We're a transformation ministry. So, Jill, I want you to just take a minute and talk about people are often asking me, do I need counseling? And then, of course, my answer is always yes, just the fact that you're asking that question. But what would be an indication that maybe it's time I quit thinking that this is going to get better, that I'm not thinking about being delivered, you know, those kind of things. What are some indications?
I think there's a lot of reasons to seek counseling and across the whole gamut. One, you know, your life is falling apart and you can't do it alone. And obviously you need some kind of help and you don't know what type of help that is. So you go to a counselor to help to sort that out. So that's more of an acute situation where there's been maybe something that has happened recently and it's just evident that it's outside of your wheelhouse for control. The other end of the spectrum might be that you've just had these nagging kind of feelings, maybe throughout life, these issues that kind of just pop up periodically, or these feelings. Perhaps it's feelings of insecurity. Perhaps it's obsessive thoughts, struggling with food issues, but nothing.
Anger.
But nothing that you say, well, it's not that bad, right? So a lot of people just kind of limp along in life. Maybe they have a little low-grade depression. And they go, but it's not that bad. And it kind of always gets okay. But it's just not really the quality of life. And so I think that the idea of going in for personal growth can be really important to sort out, because why should we all just limp along in life? Why?
Jill, how many people go to counseling because they have nobody to talk to? It's just kind of a loneliness.
Well, there's that too, where there's nobody in their circle that they feel they can really share who they really are with, and so they feel like a fraud, right? So harboring those feelings. Yeah, I've had tons of people. Not just a number, tons of people who have come in for those issues.
Well, right? Also, just some people decide, I want to grow, don't know where, don't know how I could do that best, and so I'm just going to go get a little bit of help to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like
whatever.
We don't go to school to, you know, become dumber, right? Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like
it just happens.
You know, it's a just
well, you'd have to be really dumb.
It's a positive thing. So going to counseling isn't like, oh, I'm going to get sicker. It's right. going to expose how sick I am. No, it's yeah. about growing.
Good point.
Yeah. All right. So we've got counselors all over this country, and they're good ones. And I want to tell you something. There is an amazing difference between a Christian counselor and a regular counselor. You know, if you're not going to a Christian counselor, you can't ever really talk about, well, what about, you know, I need to be committed to myself, you know. And then the counselor's not going to say, yeah, but you also committed before God in a marriage. They're just going to say, yes, that's important. Be committed to yourself. So Christian counseling, I mean, you need a Christian counselor. We'll take a break and come right back right after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelly Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Angela calling from Detroit, Michigan, and she listens on Sirius XM. Hey, Angela, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. What's going on with you today?
Well, I'm struggling. I know you wrote those books about knowing and loving someone, and I'm struggling with my daughter. She has dyslexia, and I'm really struggling with reaching her. She gets very frustrated and gets mad when it's homework time, and she just isn't confident, and I'm struggling knowing and loving her with her disability.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, we have dyslexia in our family. Mm-hmm. I know how tough it can be when they get overwhelmed, which is, you know, if they're not processing information properly, you know, and they look at 76 and they see 67,
right?
You know, and you don't understand all that. I mean, they can really flip into the reactive mode. Here's something that I've shared with the child that's dyslexic. I've said, listen, nobody wants to tell you this, But when it comes to this math problem you've got, you're going to have a calculator all your life. And that's a tool that you're going to have. And so a lot of this stuff that's frustrating, people later in life, they use a calculator versus that. And so you don't have to get all stressed out that you're not going to be able to do certain things because there's a tool for that. Well, maybe it's not math that is the big issue. I think whatever it is, you be sure at the earliest appropriate age you communicate whatever tools there are for that particular area. You know, if it's language, you try to help them get to some of these great websites that help a person who is dyslexic to understand, to comprehend, develop some tricks on reading and things like that. You just try to equip them the best possible. My assistant, Jen, has written a book, Lexi Diaz and the Power of Dyslexia. And in that little book, she talks about the dyslexic person being a superhero. Well, I got to tell you, a person in my family that's dyslexic can do some stuff that I don't think anybody else can do at that age. I'll get you a copy of that. We'll get your address and I'll send it to you.
That's cool.
It's McSoley is the last name, and it's called Lexi, L-E-X-I, and then capital D-I-A-S. Jill, your thoughts of how do you connect with a child?
It's so hard. You know, any type of learning disability, it's really, you know, painful as a parent to watch your kid struggle and suffer and get so frustrated. So I agree, Steve, you have to put things in place that can help them along to develop and compensate for where their struggle is. And really, a lot of people with learning disabilities are quite creative. And the fact that they have to compensate and that their brain will do that is amazing. And so part of it is being truthful about the reality of what she has so that she understands it. And then grieving with her over the loss of not being able to see things or read things like other kids can.
Yeah.
And then the hope of, you know, everybody has something in life. And we know your thing earlier on in life, and we can do something about it. And I've had people in my family, you know, go all the way through, graduate from college, get master's degree with dyslexia. And so, you know, getting the proper support in place, even if, you know, one person in my family, you know, had to have tests read to them in order to take them. But all the people that I've known have been very successful. So there is hope. And if it wasn't this, it might be something else that she would have to learn some frustration tolerance about. And so you have something you can focus on, and you're going to help her through it and letting her know you're there with her.
Yeah, it's like my mom said, you know, it's always something. And this is something. And I wish I had the list, I could probably Google it, of all the great people in the world that have been dyslexic and all the great things that they've accomplished. And, you know, I really think that that's part of it. But here's another thing. I mean, when a child gets on overload over homework, as a parent, you have to back off and back up and say, listen, this homework assignment for my second grader.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to kill this whole evening over this. And most people in the state they're in, those states, those systems of education are sophisticated enough. This is not just your problem. It's their problem, too. They, most of them must develop a specific individual learning plan that could include counseling and other things there. But for you, I think what is important is that you be developing character, endurance, perseverance, so that you're triggered by her upset and you're the, you know, you're the adult in the room. You know, maybe her reaction to you and being overwhelmed was your reaction to your parents, and it links you in, and so you overreact to her. I don't know what it is, but just be sure you're taking care of your stuff and that you're not needing something from her that she can't give. Some parents, they're wanting their child to do this or that, and so they've never really dealt with or grieved the fact, my child may not be able to do that. But I'm going to tell
you something. That's hard as a parent.
if you can help them, build them in the areas of strength, they can do some astounding things, literally, that some people simply will never, ever able to do. We do not have to be defined by a label like dyslexia.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Everyman's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Everyman's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Okay, so I Googled it just to let you know. 40 million American children and adults have dyslexia. And here's some of the names. Steve Jobs, Richard Branson, Leonardo da Vinci. Some of you may have not heard of Leonardo. I have. And Walt Disney, Jim Carrey. Okay, skip that. Albert Einstein was dyslexic. So here's what we're saying. I think you have somewhat of a chance at succeeding, even though you might. Steven Spielberg, Muhammad Ali, look at that. Henry Winkler, the Fonz, was dyslexic. Who knew? All right. And then, so let me, the name of that book, you could get it on Amazon, I think. It's Lexi Diaz, The Power of Dyslexia, Jennifer Reardon McSolley. So L-E-X-I space D-I-A. Yes, it's important. Jill, you said the bottom line at the break, so okay. Go ahead and say that out loud.
Well, the important thing is that you help your child not feel like they are dumb, because that's right. The conclusion kids draw when they have any kind of learning disability, that somehow they're dumb and they can't keep up, and that's just not true.
And any parent, and I want to say this in all with the spiritual maturity that I have, any parent telling a child that they're dumb is dumb, okay? So you're dumb. If you say that. So don't be dumb. Okay. Just needed to get that out of my system. Let's go to, how about we talk with Paul from Seattle, Washington. KGNW is the station. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
I can. Yes.
Great. Good. Yeah. I'm wondering, how do you get somebody who doesn't want to talk, who's oppressed, I think, into a position where they can recognize that they can talk? That's what I think the problem in question is.
Well, let me ask you this.
My marriage, my wife was, was telling me I'm rejected, and she wants to end 20 years of marriage.
Okay. So the big problem isn't that she won't talk. the big problem is she doesn't want to be married to you. Is that correct?
Could be. Yeah.
Well, didn't you just say she doesn't want to be married to you?
She said that, but she also says I'm working with you. And, well, she's saying
okay, so she is talking.
Things that are opposite to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she's confused.
Yeah, that would be a good summary.
Well, she's invested 20 years, so there's bound to be some ambivalence.
Paul, I'm going to speak to you from experience here, okay? I'm going to ask you to evaluate yourself. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to evaluate your ability first, scale of 1 to 10, to talk, and secondly, to listen. So scale of 1 to 10 as a talker, what are you? I think you're probably a 9 or so. You are very articulate. What are you on the listening scale?
8 or 9.
8 or 9 on the listening scale.
No. 8 or 9 on the talking, probably 4 to 5 on the listening.
45. Have you ever told her that you realize that?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I have told her that I want to, you know, let's learn different ways to communicate, and let's learn, you know, and I want to communicate with her differently.
Well, that's different than saying, honey, I realize I'm a much better talker than listener. Mm-hmm. And probably when you wanted to share things with me, I wasn't too good at wanting to hear them. I probably, I'm speaking from experience, Paul, my own. I probably wanted to defend myself sometimes or explain the things you didn't understand rather than hear what you were saying, connect with the feelings behind that, validate those feelings so that you absolutely felt heard, loved, understood beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you could communicate like that to her, it would cause her to maybe think there might be a little bit of hope here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm familiar with that concept of listening and connecting with feelings.
Okay, but it sounds like your wife has stopped talking because she's not being heard. And so now she's doing something to get your attention. It's not what she's wanted to do. She's tried for 20 years.
Yeah.
But it's the thing that has gotten... Okay, that's her complaint, that you don't listen. Okay. Okay, good. So she is telling you, Paul.
So again, you call saying...
Yep.
Well, but you call saying, how do I get my wife to talk and express her feelings when she doesn't want to? Well, I jumped to a conclusion based on my own experience, and now you're saying that she says, well, you don't listen. So here's the answer. How do you get your wife to talk when she doesn't want to? You tell her you've been a crummy listener, and you're going to do everything you can to listen to her. Now, this is the key right here, Paul. Not to save your marriage. You don't want to tell her, I'm going to listen to you because I want to save our marriage. You're going to listen to her because you want to know her. You want to get close to her, and you realize you've missed many opportunities to get to know her. Okay?
Yeah, that's... You know, in the beginning of relationship, we listen very well. And as time goes on, there becomes a point where it's like we think we know the other person, and so we kind of put them in their box. And we leave them there. And we never continue getting to know them more.
Right. You know what? How I say that, Jill, is I say that we relate to the story we have about them in our head.
That's true.
And we quit relating to
them,
who they are in this present place where we're trying to share.
Let me just add. So one of the ways to listen is pretend that you don't know her. and listen to her as if you're...
Well, that's not hard to pretend.
Okay. Well, so then you need to listen to her as if you're wanting to know who this person is that you really don't know.
And Paul...
With the same wonder.
Yeah. It's really important that you have an attitude of humility.
Yes.
Versus any kind of entitlement or arrogance or anything
judgment.
Like that. You know, you don't want to come at her sarcastic or cynical or anything that might be seeping through there. She's going to sense that. And I'm going to send you this book, How We Love, by Mylon and Kay Yurkovich. And it's really going to help you if you'll read it. It'll help both of you. I hope it's not too late. But I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be telling her I was going to listen. I would be telling her, hey, I get it, and I'm going to go do the thing that I've heard helps more people in the shortest length of time. I want us to go to the marriage intensive mm-hmm. that New Life talks about all the time. And I got to tell you, I really believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt. It is your best chance of winning back the heart of your wife. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anybody that's interested in that, you can find out all about it. Mm-hmm. It really can change everything.
Oh, I think that, yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. Paul. I think you guys need to go, and it will make such a shift inside of you. And I hear, Paul, you go to your head a lot, and you've got to listen to your wife from your heart.
That is true.
Right?
Yeah, from the heart. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, we want people to support this ministry so more people can come to things like our marriage intensive. And we're October 12th, tomorrow is the last day for the big early bird discount, goes away. Let's encourage some people to give for support of those that can go. Let's encourage people to get the help they need and to help others.
Well, early in the show, Steve, I read some kind of one-liner testimonies. And I want to add to that by a little bit, just a little bit longer testimony, because I like people to remember why they're giving. I feel sometimes like people are just giving because we're whining. And I don't want to be a whiner, but I do want people to know what the need is and the people with the resources step up. Lady says, I've listened to you for years. Must say your show's played a major role helping me gain new life, especially emotionally and mentally. You show me that there was a more excellent way and approach to living God's way every day. I desperately needed direction and help after having a child not being married. I needed help dealing with guilt for years. I happened upon your show, began to use the methods and questions you used in processing callers' issues as a filter for my own thoughts and problems. 8 years later now, after hearing you for the first time, I'm so thankful for the tools and standards and guidelines you provided for living a full life. That's why we do what we do, and that's why we come mm-hmm. to you unapologetically just to say, please, would you help us? Help us keep this program going. Help us mm-hmm. Expand, do better, change lives.
You're making a difference. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals
all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Larry Sonnenberg in the studio. Larry, just to tell them real quick about the benefit. If you join Club New Life, $30 a month, what is our gift, our way of saying thank you?
Our gift is a daily devotional bundle. It is four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Healing, 100 Days of Prayer. And, you know, as much as we'd like to think that people will join and give without offering anything in return, experience is that without something in return, people don't do as much as we wish they would. Mm-hmm. But these devotionals, they're beautiful.
They are. I'm going to give some of them as Christmas presents and graduation gifts. They're
Go to newlife.com.
We love saying thank you to our folks.
Yeah, we do.
We're grateful.
Go to newlife.com and take a look at the banner. There is, you know, we have a sliding banner. One of them is about Club New Life, and you can see what the four look like, and they're leatherette. They're just classy looking, and they're great gift items.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's not a gift for right now, maybe you got something for the first of the year, a birthday coming up.
Well, Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
Here comes Christmas. All right, 1-800 New Life. If you can help us, we'll send you a great thank you, and we are so grateful for all who do thank us. I mean, who do support us, and it's an honor to get to thank you however we can. Let's go to Sheila from Tacoma, Washington, and she listens on the New Life app. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. I'm all right. I could be better though, but thank you for taking my call.
Okay, what's not good here? Let's talk about it.
Well, I'm in distress over my breakup with my boyfriend. I haven't dated for about 6 years. I wanted to focus on raising my son, and so I started dating, and we dated in February, and I was really particular with who I dated, and he seemed like a really good fit, really strong Christian guy, and he's involved with multiple ministries, which bothered me initially, and then he also has a snake business. He breeds snakes, and he has Emily, and so this and he's he also has a full-time director job, and I've asked him in the beginning like how he could make a relationship work, and he's like, you know, we can make it happen, but he's also got three teenagers, so. Anyway, I gave it a chance, but I always felt that he was distracted. There were times he was distracted, and I've always asked him, you know, maybe I should pull back because it doesn't seem like a good time. But as you know, but he treated me really nice. He was, you
did
know,
he break
really
up with
great.
You? Did he break up with
no,
you?
No, it was me. Because I just felt really rejected and. Well, not rejected. I felt more ignored more and more. And the last time we saw each other, he said to me, like, you know, I can't commit to seeing you in the next 2 months. I really need to pay off my gambling debt. He used to gamble after his wife left him.
So what's the question for us? Because we're almost out of time. He's a committed Christian with gambling debt. What else? How could we help you?
So
what's the question?
I'm really distressed about it because he's a good guy, and I wanted to be friends still with him and hope that we may still have a future if things change, but he's angry and hurt, I think, and
he promised to
keep in touch every couple months. I'm sorry?
He's angry that you pulled away, that you ended things?
Well, he was angry because he said, because I first said, yeah, we can slow things down. And then a couple of days later, I was yelling at him at the phone. And I said, I don't want to see you again. You know, you've been ignoring me, rejecting me. And he's like, what made you change your mind? You know, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's part of his anger. And he, on my last call with him post-breakup, he said, I just want to focus on raising my kids because, you know, it's our time together was eating up.
We're just going to give
Sheila,
you some advice
here. Sheila, you are dating someone, and it sounds like you felt like just another one of his projects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly, yeah. He takes on a lot and has a little bit more of a chaotic or ADD way of approaching life, and mm-hmm. probably takes on more than he can handle. And then when you've got the gambling thing, I mean, it's like he needs a lot of stimulation, so he goes from thing to thing to thing. So for you, it you know, clearly... Him, I mean, you see who he is. Who he is has nothing to do with you. But it sounds like you really are needing something different. You are taking who he is and taking that personally, feeling like you're not a priority in his life.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, Jill.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think like a woman.
Okay.
And it's this. What if she, like many women... has a real discerning spirit, intuition, they
mm-hmm.
call it.
Yes.
And she knows this isn't good. She knows it doesn't work. And really what she's done is she's done something painful, difficult,
mm-hmm.
but it was absolutely, in the long run,
necessary.
The best thing.
Even though he's a
now,
good guy.
What do we do? What do we do? We have to get support from other women. We have to get in a support group. You have to get help or you're going to be in this state of mm-hmm. frenzy and anxiety, and you're it's kind of like you're driving yourself crazy over the discomfort that probably, hearing about this guy, was one of the most brilliant things you could have ever done for yourself. So now, let's deal with that reality. Let's get into an amazing support group of other women, a women's Bible study, a life recovery group, start a group, and get help. Because out there on your own, after you've been with a guy, you had all these hopes and dreams and things like that, you need help from other women to deal with the fact that you stood up, made a bold move, and shut it down. There's nothing in me mm-hmm. that wants to tell you to change this or that so that you guys could be together for all eternity. It seems like to me a day with him would be like eternity. So I'm supporting the decision mm-hmm. that you made. I'm going to send you this book, Is This the One? And when it comes to him, maybe not mm-hmm. the one, and certainly not right now. Really glad that you called. Well, we're just about out of time. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, Marriage Intensive coming up in Columbus, Ohio. It's driving distance from 90% of the people who have high IQs in America. I really think you would love this event, no matter what you've been through. No problem too big, no irritation too small. And so if you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Maybe there's a counselor we could help you with or a resource. Any gift, I'll send you 10. I'm not going to send you 10 of them, but I'll send you one that has 100 days of healing in it. That's a devotional. It's just beautiful. Join Club New Life. I'll send you 400 days of healing and prayer and character. Amazing books. And then, you know, Christmas coming up, we've talked about Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. If you have a young person there, gift of $20 or more, I'll sign it to the child you want it to go to, and we'll send it to you directly from the heart of Santa Claus or somebody who has played mm-hmm. Santa Claus before. Anyway, we love you and we care about you. And when you support us, you're part of the New Life Giving family and you're part of the transformation of so many people. But look, don't sit there and just listen to the program when you know you need something a little bit more. We're in the studio right after this, 1-800-229-3000. Please call us. Let us help you. We want to be there for you when you need it. And right now might be the time to call 1-800-229-3000. New Life or the radio program, 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.